This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Amy Dash jumps in here. We can, for fun, ask her about this as we're bringing her in. Legal Insider Amy Dash. Insider Calls presented by Hey Maine, a new podcast from Kenny Maine each week. Kenny talks to famous people from the worlds of sports, music, and everywhere else. Download Hey Maine on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Hello, Amy Dash. I wonder, did it ever even cross your mind? It's not somewhere where the story went, but that Joc Pederson, Tommy Pham thing when he got clubbed in the face in the outfield a couple of weeks ago, did that run the risk of ending up in the legal realm?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, listen, there's still, you know, within the context of sports, a lot of things are accepted. Because you sort of assume the risk. It's called assumption of the risk. But, I mean, absolutely, if things get out of control, you know, all cards are still on the table. So I think, you know, obviously when you're slapping somebody in the face, it takes it over the line. And so MLB had to act.
Yeah, it was definitely something they had to do, especially with the video cameras now being on virtually every part of all of our lives, for that matter. No video in the Deshaun Watson saga, fortunately, yet this thing continues to drag on, and I guess the court case is getting underway. How do you see this working out, not only from a jurisprudence standpoint, but what the league will do this year with Deshaun Watson?
You know, I think they've made their recommendation, and because they have a new disciplinary process, a lot's going to be up to the arbitrator. So if the arbitrator decides no suspension, no discipline in a number of the 24 cases, there's really nothing the NFL can do about it. And a lot of people think that a recommendation of indefinite for at least a year seems on the harsh side. But if you think about the way that the discipline process actually operates, the suggestion, which is across the board in almost every case, is a minimum 6 games for these types of allegations per case. So he's got 24 accusers. So really what the NFL is recommending is on the low side, because 6 times 5 people is already 30 games. So that's more than a season. So they're recommending the minimum 6 games in the event that the arbitrator finds that there are a couple of cases, probably the more harsh ones with the more serious allegations, where the evidence merits some sort of discipline.
6 games per accuser would be the rest of his career.
That's 144 games.
Exactly. And so like when you think of it that way, actually, a year, he should just take it and appreciate it,
right,
and hope that within a year from now, everybody's sort of forgotten, the media hype has died down, and the NFL says, okay, you can come back. Now, apparently, the NFLPA and Jeffrey Kessler, who represented Tom Brady and Ezekiel Elliott and took their cases to federal court, are all gearing up to go hard against anything that would be a year or more and possibly go to federal court, but they just renegotiated the entire discipline process. And the NFLPA had a hand in that and just agreed to this new process. So I think there's very little chance that a court would even entertain this, considering that in the past cases, when they were operating under an archaic process, the court still kicked it out and said, listen, you collectively bargained for this. Now you're stuck with it.
Odyssey Legal Insider Amy Dash. Amy, I'm curious about this. Deshaun said, I'm innocent. I will not settle. And then last week, he settled. So he settles 20 of the 24 cases. How does that affect the way the NFL will look at this and the legal process will now look at it?
I don't think it will really affect the discipline process. He had to settle. His back was really up against the wall. Tony Busby had indicated that more cases might be coming, and they still might be. But obviously, if you're contending with a handful of cases versus approaching 30 cases and 30 different trials, that's a different story. But I think that the Browns had built in certain protections to the contract to make sure that if this escalated out of control, if there were more criminal investigations in the pipeline, or if there was just too much of a distraction, they'd be able to get out of this contract. So I think he was really running the risk of losing his position with the team altogether, and he just had to settle. It's not an admission of guilt. It's just that there was no end in sight, and it was just going to get worse.
Four suits still outstanding, including one that is including the culpability, allegedly, of the Houston Texans. What kind of legs does that lawsuit have saying that, hey, Houston, you helped to enable this guy to get these massages, so you too are now on the hook?
Surprisingly, a lot. Normally, I wouldn't say that, but in this circumstance, there seems to be a lot of documentary evidence, including complaints from a massage company that was hired by the team to specifically cover its players. And the owner allegedly was saying to the team, listen, he's going outside of the organization. He's going meeting people on Instagram, and this exposes us to liability. And also complaining about alleged behavior that was going on that was, you know, raising red flags within the context of those massages. There's also the fact that one of their employees supplied an NDA to him and also actively participated in removing some social media messages from one of his accusers. So I think under the employer-employee liability theory, which is called respondeat superior, I think there's a lot of potential for liability there. And they're also alleging conspiracy and things like that, and I think that's a little bit weaker because I don't think there was actual knowledge here, but certainly that there was enough that the team should have potentially known that something was going on that required an investigation.
Amy, this might be a little bit more of an overall NFL or even overall sports question about the way teams handle things like this. Are you surprised that the Browns, who must have known something like this was on the way, still decided to go ahead and put the financial resources that they did into a contract like this? And what do you think that sort of says about the way teams handle players that are in legal trouble?
Yeah, I think obviously it emphasizes the business model over any type of, catering to public perception or advocacy by certain, people who maybe have an interest in advocating for victims of sexual assault, domestic violence. It definitely errs on the side of Deshaun Watson's innocent until proven guilty. He has not been charged with anything criminally. But what I'm curious to, and that's all right, but I'm just curious to know how deeply the team actually got into the evidence. And I find it very bizarre that they didn't wait at least for the NFL to conclude its investigation, because the NFL is now doing what's akin to almost a criminal investigation, a very thorough investigation with its own investigators and people who have experience as prosecutors and as judges in the criminal justice system. So I would think that they would defer to that. But they definitely took a risk, and giving up so many first-round picks, I think they could see themselves in a lot of trouble coming up.
Amy, just one more from Deshaun Watson to Trevor Bauer, who was seemingly exonerated of wrongdoing in a legal sense, but still suspended by MLB. I know he's appealing. Where are we with the Trevor Bauer update?
Yeah, I know that I had spoken at some point with his attorney and his agent, and they had said that they were going to try to talk behind the scenes and come up with some sort of settlement, but it's been very, very quiet on that front. So I guess we'll have to wait and see. It's definitely a harsh suspension, given the fact that he was not found guilty of a crime in court. And, there's not even a judge wanted to leave that restraining order. Now, that doesn't mean he didn't do what he's accused of. It doesn't mean he did. But certainly that's going to draw a lot of comparisons when it comes time to discipline Deshaun Watson.
Amy, great stuff as always. Thank you so much for hopping on.
Sure, my pleasure. Thanks.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.